Deuteronomy chapter 1, I was praying about this passage as I was coming here on the plane, and I landed on this literally as we were landing here in this area, and then I found out the verse that we've been reading about Joshua, and then of course the message this morning, so it seemed in line with Scripture. We're going to be talking about Joshua just briefly, also Moses as well. When you draw to this text here, this portion of Scripture, someone called Deuteronomy is the second law. And when you read this book here, you find it's Moses' final message his sermon to Israel. And as he's preaching this message, he preaches with a heavy heart. And you can feel that and you can see that, knowing that he would not enter into the promised land, the land that he was expecting. And into this land, we find a new generation that will be serving God. And with this heavy heart and this hour of urgency, we find the need of this younger generation to step up and serve God. That's what we find in this book. Before we jump into the book of Joshua, I'm reminded in Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19, it recalls and says, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, and I have set before you life and death. And he says, blessing and cursing, therefore choose life. And then he says that both thou and thy seed may live. And Moses here is going to feel compelled to bring a reminder of the law here, and that because as they are ready to enter into the promised land, really we're looking at children here, young people, young adults, if they weren't even born at all at the time of the sin, when the law was given even at Mount Sinai, and now a nation stands at the border of Canaan. As we enter into this, we look at Deuteronomy chapter 1, and we begin here in verse 6 in this story. And it says, and the Lord our God spake unto us in Oreb, saying, ye have dwelt long enough in this mountain. Turn you and take your journey, and go to the mount of the Amorites, and to all the places nigh thereunto, in the plain, and the hills, and the vale, and the south, and by the seaside, to the land of the Canaanites, and to Lebanon, and to the great river, the river Euphrates. Behold, I have set the land before you. Go in and possess the land, which the Lord sware unto your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give unto them and to their seed after them. Notice verse 21. Behold, the Lord thy God hath set the land before thee. Go up and possess it, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath said unto thee. Fear not, neither be discouraged. Notice verse 26. Notwithstanding, ye would not go up, but rebelled against the commandment of the Lord your God, and ye murmured in your tents and said, because the Lord hated us, he hath brought us forth out of the land of Egypt to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites, to destroy us. Whither shall we go up? Our brethren have discouraged our hearts, saying, the people is greater and taller than we. The cities are great and walled up to heaven. And moreover, we have seen the sons of Anakim there. Then I said unto you, dread not, neither be afraid of them. The Lord your God, which goeth before you, he shall fight for you. He says the same in chapter 3, verse 22 of Joshua. According to all that he did for you in Egypt before your eyes, and in the wilderness, where thou hast seen how the Lord thy God bare thee as a man doth bear his son, in all the way that ye went until ye came unto this place. Then notice verse 36. The two people that would enter. Save Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, he shall see it. And to him will I give the land he hath trodden upon, and to his children, because he hath wholly followed the Lord. Also the Lord was angry with me for your sakes, saying, thou also shalt not go in thither. But Joshua, the son of Nun, which standeth before thee, he shall go in thither. Notice the next two words. Encourage him, for he shall cause Israel to inherit it. If you turn to chapter 3, verse 28. Chapter 3, verse 28, same thing is given here. Chapter 3, verse 28 says, but charge Joshua, and what does it say? Encourage him and strengthen him, for he shall go before this people, and he shall cause them to inherit the land which thou shalt see. It's an amazing truth, and it's a sad truth we're brought here in Deuteronomy chapter 1, even into chapter 3. Because of Moses' disobedience at Meribah, his ministry is quickly coming to an end. He would not enter the promised land. You find that in Deuteronomy chapter 32 at the very end, when he is giving commendation and trying to encourage Joshua. Moses' time is concluding. However, God's work is not ending, but Moses' is. God is raising up Joshua. But twice God says to Moses, encourage him and encourage him. Because Moses, it's not about you. It's about the God you serve. And it wasn't about Joshua's ability. It was about Moses' responsibility to help prepare the next generation. We probably heard this quote, that God's work is one generation away from apostasy. If we don't pass down truth. And this evening, very quickly, I'd like to show you some truths in this text about the passing and the receiving of truth. Now, I recognize in this room that there are a lot of Joshuas. A lot of young people that are receiving truth. This generation seems even more eager than many in years past. Eager to receive truth. Eager to do something for God. And as Moses is those that are the older generation looking in this room, you might be a little afraid to pass the baton on. Or you might be afraid of who you can pass the baton to. But I would say in this room, maybe being in between both those generations, maybe closer to a Joshua than a Moses, I would say Moses's don't fear, because the God you have served is the God that Joshua's are serving. And then Joshua's in the room, look, the God that your parents and forefathers have served is the same God that is still on the throne today. So I'd like to first address with Moses and the need to pass truth to Joshua. Can I give you a couple of things here about the Moseses here? If I'm speaking to the older generation, this is you. But Joshua's, pay attention, because this is what you need to receive. So number one, Moses had a personal testimony that Joshua needed to hear. When you look at verse 38, Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 38, it says this, Joshua, the son of Nun, which standeth before thee. See, Joshua had seen many victories, but Moses had seen the entire journey. See, Moses had witnessed bondage in Egypt. See, Moses had seen the 10 plagues. Moses had been with the Red Sea crossing. Moses understood the wilderness wanderings and God's faithfulness through every season of his life. He had seen that. See, Joshua knew what God could do. Moses knew what God had done. He had seen it. Psalms chapter 78, verse 4, I'll just read it here. Showing to the generation to come the praises of our Lord and is and his strength and his wonderful works that he hath done. I think we could all testify God's done things in our life. God's done amazing works in our life. And the younger men or the older ladies in this room can tell the younger men or the younger ladies of the God that we serve. And can I just give you a reminder for a minute? I just wrote down a few of the God that we serve and the titles of the God that we serve. I think of just a few that he is Alpha and Omega. Amen. He is the beginning and the end. He is the first and the last. He is I Am. He is Jehovah, the Almighty God. He is the Most High, the Everlasting God, the Living God, the Holy One of Israel, the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. He is Redeemer. He is Savior. He is Deliverer. He is Righteous. He is our Judge, Lawgiver. He is my Father. He is my Shepherd. He is my Rock, my Fortress, my Refuge, my Shield, my Strong Tower. He is my Hiding Place. He is my Portion. He is Emmanuel. He is the Word. He is the Lamb of God. He is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He is the Root of David. He is the Bright and Morning Star, the Bread of Life, the Light of the World, the Good Shepherd. He is the True Vine, the Resurrection and the Life. He is the Way, the Truth, and the Life. He is my High Priest. He is my Mediator, my Advocate, the Author and Finisher of our faith. That is my God. And that is your God. And sometimes we forget, as a Moses generation, that they need to hear who our God is. We have a testimony of who God is. Number two, Moses had wisdom from God that Joshua needed to hear. See, Joshua was a warrior. He was a fighter. Moses was a shepherd, but he knew how to lead people. Moses learned in Exodus chapter 18, He learned how to delegate. He learned how to intercede in Numbers chapter 14 for rebellious people. Remember, he stood between the living and the dead. He had seen those things. And when you come to Deuteronomy chapter 34, verse 9, when he's passing this on to Joshua, the Bible says, Joshua, the son of Nun, was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands upon him. Can we look at an example here just for a moment? Because I would just say this, that sometimes you forget the personal touch of ministry or the personal touch of getting in people's homes, of getting close to somebody, rubbing shoulders with people. If you turn to 1 Kings chapter 17, just for a moment, we're going to come right back, but I think we need to see this story. 1 Kings chapter 17, notice verse 17. 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 17. Elisha has just gone through a lot. Remember, he'd been in the brook of Cherith, had been fed by ravens. It's not gone so well in 1 Kings 17. God called him there, then the brook dries up. That's a blessing. And then as he's there, he's fed by a widow lady that came as a saint herself. Where is God? God does a work. The lady makes a little cake for him first, and of course, the Lord provided in this situation, but this woman still was not trusting in God fully. But then even to add to this story, we find here in verse 17 that there was a son. 1 Kings chapter 17, look at verse 17. It came to pass after these things that the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, fell sick, and his sickness was so sore that there was no breath left in him. I think of our generation, many of the Joshuas, there's no breath left in them. Our young people are dried up. Some of them have bones. They need revival. There's no breath. Verse 18, and she said unto Elijah, what have I to do with thee, O thou man of God? Art thou coming to me to call my sin to remembrance and to slay my son? He said to her, give me thy son. And he took him out of her bosom and carried him up into a loft. I would just say, if you're going to get personal and help people, it's going to take some work. He didn't have to carry this young man. But he took the effort, keep reading, where he abode. And notice that he went where this young man was. He didn't just say, walk into my church, then I'll help you. He didn't say, why don't you just help yourself? No, he helped him. He went to his house. He went the extra mile. Notice, and laid him upon his bed. And he cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, hast thou also brought evil upon the widow with whom I sojourned by slaying her son? And he stretched himself upon the child three times. I would also add that working with other people and helping others as a Moses generation, you're going to have to stretch yourself. You're going to have to put yourself in positions that you may not want to be in. Positions to where you're tired. Positions to where it just seems too late. And notice it wasn't just one time. He did it again. He did it again. And he did it again. And crying to the Lord and said, Lord my God, I pray that this child's soul come into him again. And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came in him again, and he revived. And Elijah took the child and brought him down out of the chamber into the house and delivered him unto his mother. And Elijah said, see, thy son liveth. And notice, maybe the entire purpose of this entire chapter was this one verse. And the woman said to Elijah, now by this I know that thou art a man of God, and that the word of the Lord in thy mouth is truth. See, it may not be about reaching the Joshua. It might even be about reaching the Joshua's parents. It might not even be about the one person you're focused on. It might be about somebody else watching your testimony as you're going through a trial. It might be people looking to see, hey, they stretched themselves twice, but would they do it a third time? Will they keep going on for God? And see, number two, we talked about, number one was Moses had a personal testimony that Joshua needed to hear. Number two, Moses had wisdom from God that Joshua needed to hear. And I would just say, look, there are some things that you have that God has given you that this generation needs. Don't give up. Don't quit. Elijah could have quit the first time, and maybe that young man would not have been revived. Maybe he would have said, well, Joshua's a fighter, but surely he's not a leader. Maybe there are some things Joshua was missing, or that he said, well, it's just going to take a lot of work. I had to stay after church, right? I had to go in a different church building on a Sunday night. We had to set up all these times where we had to help with this meal. Look, I understand ministry and it's always busy, but look, busyness is not the goal. We make God the goal. But if God is worthy, we're going to stretch ourselves a second time. We're going to stretch ourselves a third time. And look, sometimes you get weary in the work, but I'm not weary of the work. because I serve a risen Savior. So the second thing was Moses had wisdom from God that Joshua needed to hear. And the third thing was Moses had a walk with God that Joshua needed to see. When you look at this, I want you to see this verse, Exodus chapter 33, for just a moment. We get a little backstory here of Moses. Moses was an incredible man. He wasn't a perfect man, but God used him. But in Exodus chapter 33, we notice here about Moses, about his walk with God. Some people say it's not what you say, it's what you do, right? But regardless of that, Exodus 33, verse 11 says, Exodus chapter 33, verse 11, "And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend." Now notice this. "And he turned again into the camp, but his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle." Did you notice that God was speaking to Moses face to face? He was his friend. And Joshua was looking and he was watching Moses. You know, he was probably thinking in his mind, "I want what he has. And I don't know what that is. And I don't know if I have it, but I'm not going to leave this place until I get it. I want to spend more time with God to where I have a relationship. I want to pray like him. I want to serve like him. I want to preach like him. I want to be faithful to soul winning like she is or like he is." And see, Joshua had watched Moses pray. Joshua had watched Moses seek God. Joshua had watched Moses depend upon God. And before Joshua was ever a leader, he had watched Moses surrender himself to God's voice. I would just ask this question. What do people see when they look at you? Do they see you or do they see God? When they see me, are they looking at Daniel or are they looking at something else? Because I know from Deuteronomy chapter 34, verse 10, it says, "And there arose not a prophet since in Israel like unto Moses." And then it says, "Whom the Lord knew face to face." Moses got it, but not everybody else did. And I would say the greatest thing Moses left Joshua was not his own position, but an example. I think too often we are seeking positions too much in church. We are seeking a position to have this or to do this ministry or to have that. But I'm thinking of people in our church. A family just joined even this morning, and they come, and he works often all day Saturday, not asking for a position, not asking for anything, but he just serves and serves and serves and has been there all day long. And I ask, "How long have you been there?" He says, "Well, not too long." Or he'll say, "Not long enough. There's more to do." And he's not asking for any position. He just wants to serve the Lord. But often in my heart of hearts, I'll think, "Well, I wonder what's in this for me." Or I wonder if anybody's noticing I'll vacuum 5 minutes longer for people to walk in the door. See, I've been here for a good hour, right? Or I'll serve and I'll work with the teens for a little longer. Or I'll ask if anybody saw how many we had. Or I'll count the numbers again. Or I'll go for this or I'll go for that. But as a Moses generation, serve the Lord because people are watching. And don't stop serving. Keep being faithful. And I understand maybe you're not where you want to be. Maybe in a place to where you want to go into Canaan, but maybe it's not the place you thought you would end up. But I understand this, that there are still people serving God. And God is still alive. And there's still work for you to do. And I know this because you're breathing. God has given you purpose. But also, let's look at the other side of it. Notice the Joshua. And pay attention to Moses, because the Moses generation, this is what the Joshuas need. But the younger generation, maybe I'm speaking to 30 and younger, I'm not sure. But this is the truth that you need. And before we jump into this, go back to Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 38. That was our launching verse. Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 38. And notice what is said here about Joshua. It says, "But Joshua the son of Nun, which standeth before thee." Before we look at his life, just notice that Joshua was present and he was available. There's so much to say about young people just being available. It's not about your ability, it's about your availability. We've heard that, we understand that, we know that. But before Joshua could lead, he needed to serve and understand that the greatest of those that lead are the greatest of those that serve. That's what we're seeking after. See, in Exodus 24, the Bible talks about how Moses rose up in his minister Joshua. Oh, wait, Joshua was there. In Exodus 33, verse 11, when the Bible is talking about Moses being face to face with God, we just read that. Oh, wait, Joshua was also there. And every time that Moses was leading, Joshua was following. He was soaking up the word of God. When the doors were open, he was in church. When there was time for soul winning, he was there. When there was time to serve and grab a table, he was doing it. When there was time to grab a chair, he was grabbing a chair. When pastor needed help, he was there. And he wasn't looking to lead, he was looking to serve. But understand, as he kept serving, he was leading. Yes. Amen. Amen. And he wasn't doing it for himself, he was doing it for God. He was doing it for an audience of one. And that's why Joshua was so great, because he served a great God. Amen. And a couple of things about Joshua that we need to understand, that Joshua's need to receive. Number one, Joshua's need to receive truth through service. Joshua's need to receive truth through service. We write it over in Exodus chapter. Let's go ahead and turn there for a moment. Exodus 24. Exodus 24, look at verse 13. Exodus chapter 24. We're going to notice verse 13. Exodus 24, verse 13 says, "And Moses rose up and his minister, Joshua." And Moses went up into the Mount of God. Look, Joshua may not have gone to every place that he wanted. He may have said, "Look, Moses, why do I have to wait here while you can go all the way up? Why can't I see God face to face like you can?" And imagine Moses saying, "Just wait. Your time's coming. But stay hungry for God's word." I would just say with our young generation here, look, you first appear as a servant, but look, just because you don't have the position doesn't mean you don't have the power of God. Amen. Our life and our world tells us you need this position. You need to have this. You need this. You need this. Look, all you need is truth. All you need is the word of God. Look, truth is received and it is given to people in humility, not people of pride. Only by pride cometh contention. We don't need those things. Why did it work so well with Moses and Joshua? Because while Moses was leading, and he was really serving God, Joshua was helping leadership by serving. Our pastor says like this, in a church, you're either pastoring a church or you're helping a pastor pastor a church. And from what I can see, there's a pastor pastoring a church. So help your pastor. Look, I'm the same. I'm a youth pastor, so I'm a pastor at a church. We have a pastor God has given us. You know what I do? I just help serve. You can throw titles away, it doesn't matter. Tenure doesn't matter. You know why tenure doesn't matter? Because people are in ministry for 30 years and they still feel God. You know why tenure doesn't matter as much to where I say, look, we need to be faithful. And don't miscount that at all. We need to be faithful to God, but just understand, just because you're towards the end doesn't mean you shouldn't be faithful. People are still watching. We need to see you faithful to the end. So number one, Joshua received truth through service. Number two, Joshua received truth through observation. We notice in chapter 33, verse 11, that we had read when Moses spake to God face to face, and he departed not out of the tabernacle. Understand that Moses watched his relationship, or Moses had a relationship with God, and Joshua watched that relationship. What did he see? He saw Moses praying. You know, I think about, do my children watch me pray? Do they see me pray? I need to do it more. I think about my family. Do they see me worshiping God? Yeah, I'm at church, but it doesn't mean I'm worshiping God. You know, even you read in the Old Testament, they brought Baal worship into the temple. So I can be a hardened heart even in a church. A church doesn't make me spiritual. What's in our heart and our life? So am I worshiping God? Do people see that? Am I actually seeking God's direction for my life? Do I make decisions because it's just lucrative or because it's best for me or because I enjoy it, or am I saying to my family, hey, we're going to pray about this because we need to know the mind of God, not just what I want. And then also think about Moses, and you remember in Numbers 14, him and Aaron were standing there before the living and the dead, and they were holding off the wrath of God, and they were praying for others. They were interceding for their church. They were interceding for people that were hurting and in pain. And do you intercede for people, or do we just complain about people? Look, I'm preaching to myself tonight, so I thank you for sitting here while I'm preaching to myself. But do I just complain about people not doing things? Am I doing something? Am I serving God? So number two, Joshua received truth through observation. And look, truth is often taught, yes, but more than likely it's caught. Look, I went to Bible college and I understand, look, everything should be fixed in Bible college. It's not true, right? I've learned more probably in the past 2 years of ministry than I have in my entire life. And I know that you could say the same of this church and this pioneering and what you're doing here and how God is working and how God is moving in this church. But people are observing. Look, Moses stayed faithful because Joshua's are watching. And then number three, Joshua received truth through experience. So he received truth through service, he received truth through observation, and he received truth through experience. See, Joshua, think about this story, fought Amalek. While Moses stood on a hill with the rod of God, Joshua got some experience too. He was serving God. He was thrown into the fire a little bit. Joshua learned firsthand that victory comes from the dependence upon God. We talked about in Numbers 13 and 14, Joshua's experience. It was mentioned this morning about the faithfulness of the 10 spies, the judgment of God coming, the faithfulness of God's promises. And Clarence Sexton used to say this, nothing is dynamic until it is specific. And look, you have to experience God for yourself. I remember the first time I came to Canada, somebody told me about a double-double. I said, what are you talking about? It's called two cream, two sugar, and I know it's called double-double. Okay. And I tried it, and it's never the same. It's never the same. Honestly, I don't like donuts that much. I really don't. I know it's a crying shame. But you know what I do love? I do love a Tim Hortons chocolate cake donut. And the teens can attest to it. Every time I come to Canada, I know this is not spiritual, but I post about it every time I come. And I would take home about 5 dozen if I could, because we have nothing like that in Florida, not even close. It's terrible. And every time we come, I eat that donut, and I had heard about these donuts. We were on the east coast of Canada, and we were north of Toronto, North Bay, Pastor Ken Wadley. He says, you have to try these donuts. I said, it's going to be the same. He says, no, brother, it's not the same. And I had the donut, and from that day forward, my eyes have been opened. My eyes have been opened. It's been a blessing. And I hate to say it, but when I was studying for this message on the plane, you know what I was thinking about? A chocolate cake donut with a double-double. That's what I was thinking about. You know, I think about Psalms 34:8. Can you turn there? Psalms 34:8. I think about this passage because I could tell you tonight about certain things. I could tell you about my grandmother's cooking. I could tell you about South Florida food. I could tell you about certain things, and you're going to look at me and think I'm crazy. But I think about Scripture, and I think about the Word of God. And our generation needs to see something. And they need to see this verse in Psalms 34:8. It says, O taste and see. See, this is an invitation. This is an invitation from God, but it's also an invitation of Moses to Joshua. Hey, why don't you taste and see how good God is? Hey, why don't you taste and see that He is King of Kings? Hey, why don't you taste and see that He is Jehovah God, that He is Jehovah Rapha, that He is all these things that the Bible talks about. It's not just a name, that it's a person that, look, it's not just a place of worship. Look, there's a person involved. This is not something. No, it's about someone that we are worshiping. It's a relationship. It is not a religion. We serve a risen Savior. Look, I want you to understand tonight that, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusts in Him. And understand, we serve a generation that believes that there is something. But they need to trust. They believe that there's a God. Even the disciples looked out and they saw that it was Jesus. And He said, don't be afraid. But look, they believed in God, but only one trusted in God to walk on water. And for the rest of their life, what did Peter say? I walked on water and you didn't. And all of them thought, I wish we could have, and they could have. And look, understand, every one of us tonight can taste and see the goodness of God. Every one of us tonight can walk on water with Jesus Christ. But you believe in something great, well, trust in Him. If you not come to him for salvation, give everything to God. No reservation. No retreat. No regrets. Be all in. God is a loving God. Yes, once saved, always saved people. We believe that. Yes, we mess up. Yes, we sin. But my sin is cast as far as the east is from the west. I am eternally secure. But if you are also saved, understand you have a responsibility to pass something on or to receive something tonight. I think about a relay race that I ran many, many eons ago. Not very well, but I tried. I remember running 100 meter, 200 meter. And when I was running around about 200 meters, we were testing to see how far I could go. I got about to 300 meters, and I was called over, and they said, "No, you're good. You're good." And I didn't understand that I was going so slow that I didn't need to run anymore. That's what they were telling me. They said, "Just do the quick 100, 200 meter, and that's about it." So I never got to the baton part of things, so I was never quite good enough. But I loved watching people that pass the baton. But, you know, as I watch these races and people pass the baton, maybe in Olympics and things, these team races, it's a team event. You never see a person in a 4x100 to where they run the entire thing. They can't make it. They'll come in last every time. And there comes a place to where when they have the baton, they have to come around a curve or a corner, and they have to decide not to keep it. And I think for Moses in this generation, we're afraid that there's no one else to pass to. But the Joshuas are looking at us and saying, "We're right here." And look, I know that there is fear in every generation, but there's also faith in God. And God has not changed. So I would say to the Moses generation, if you have something, pass something. Don't just keep it for yourself. Give it to somebody else. See, Moses had run his race well. He had confronted Pharaoh. He had led Israel to the Red Sea. He had received the law of God. He'd shepherded God's people. But now the race was not just about Moses finishing. It was about Joshua continuing. And God did not tell Moses, "Run harder as you get older." He didn't say that. What did he say? Encourage him. He didn't say, "Look, you have to keep doing more and more and more." No, he says, "Look, I want you to find somebody. And I want you to encourage him to do the same." And look, I think about the question is not whether we possess the baton. The question is whether we are, notice this phrase, intentionally passing the baton to the next generation. Intentionally. Things like that. And we understand if you're a parent in this room, parenting doesn't happen on accident. It's intentional. Pray for me right now. I'm working my son playing piano. And we are intentionally doing the best we can. We are working through it. It is not optional, but we are learning the piano. And if you have children, teaching them certain things, teaching them manners, it's a continual thing. Don't grow weary in well-doing. For in due season you will reap if you faint not. And I think about one verse. Can we conclude in this verse? 2 Timothy chapter 2. I think this is a great verse to finish on. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Look at verse 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Notice verse 2. 2 Timothy 2:2. Paul echoed this same principle in the New Testament as the same principle we talked about tonight in the Old Testament. 2 Timothy chapter 2, let's begin here in verse 1. "Thou therefore," notice, "my son." Paul had invested so much into Timothy that he called him his son. "Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of" who? "Me. Among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." See, Paul was passing to Timothy, Timothy to faithful men teaching others also. And I would just say tonight, the things that you have heard from your pastor, commit those to somebody else. The things that you have learned in your life, commit that to the next generation. You might be weary, look, in the work, but never be weary of the work. God will renew your strength. God will give you what you need. And look, there are Joshuas all around us tonight. There are children in homes all in this community. There are students in our schools all in this community. There are young people in our churches in this community. There are young adults in colleges very close to this community. And there are future, I would think, pastors and maybe missionaries in this room that need to see you being faithful. Joshua needed encouragement. Look, the challenge is twofold tonight, and we're done. Challenge number one. Are you willing to receive truth like Joshua? Younger generation, are you willing to be taught some things? And I would just say this for the older generation as well. You are always learning. Because if you're not learning, you're dying. Keep yourself teachable. So are we receiving truth like Joshua? And the second thing is this. Are we passing on truth like Moses? Now, I think if we do those things, we're going to find a generation that's not missing the baton, but they're passing the baton. It's not too late. You look around this world, and it's the same in America, it's the same also in every country. It's not a world to where we need churches being planted. We have seen pastors in buildings. I look at our Christian school all the time, and I say, look, if you all aren't serving God, where's it going to come from? And I would just say for you in this church, mention our brother going and helping and doing some other things this summer, be gone for a month or two. Our other brother going to be gone for a little bit. Look, you know what I see? I see opportunity. Do you? I see a harvest. I see an opportunity to serve God, to help your pastor, to take the next step. Look, I'm encouraged this week about hearing about so many ministries. Look, you've had a full day today. So many things going on, seeing Clayton run around there, all these different places and playing piano, nursing home, and being here and other ministries going on. This is an exciting place. And if I was here, this is where I'd be in church. And I pray that you encourage your pastor. And I'm sure that you do. But also, keep passing on things to the next generation. And young people, stay faithful because your time's coming. And look, your time's right now.